the latest in the fight over student loans. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. We are still waiting for the Supreme Court to rule on the Biden administration's plan to cancel student debt. But in the meantime, yesterday, the president vetoed a bill that would have canceled that plan. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has the details.
The Biden proposal would forgive as much as $20,000 in student loans from the federal government, but only for borrowers who make less than $125,000 a year. The administration says no one in the top 5% income bracket would qualify for loan forgiveness. Nonetheless, Republicans and some moderate Democrats said it was unfair to people who didn't go to college. They voted for legislation that would have canceled the debt forgiveness plan. In his veto message, though, President Biden said that legislation would deny critical relief for working families. Meanwhile, a pause on student loan payments during the pandemic is set to end late this summer. That was one of House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's demands during the negotiations to raise the debt limit. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
I don't know if you have seen the photos of New York yesterday enveloped in a bright orange cloud, something out of a Mad Max movie. Smoke from Canadian wildfires is blowing across North America, creating air quality problems. Climate change is making the world more susceptible to fires, and that has sparked adaptation. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes took a look at that.
73-year-old Peg Terry lives in Brooklyn, and looking at the wildfire smoke, she's been reminded of a different kind of natural disaster, one she saw growing up in Illinois.
The air has that yellow tinge that in the Midwest we would get before tornadoes.
Terry has a mild case of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. She feels breathless sometimes, and she's sensitive to smoke. So she's been turning to tools she acquired during the pandemic. Outside, a KN95 mask, and inside...
My daughter Cassie said to me, did you turn on your air purifier? And I'm thinking, oh no, it's only for germs. Of course it will work for smoke.
The cost of air purifiers vary. Some cost thousands. Though University of Toronto civil engineer Jeffrey Siegel points out, there's been a surge of people DIYing it. They're building their own for less than $100, using a box fan and some filters.
Those work fantastically for wildfires if you do them well.
There's high-tech solutions in the works, too. Jay Koh of the Lightsmith Group, a climate-focused private equity firm, is looking at investing in strategic information systems that can provide people with not just hyper-local, but also hyper-temporal warnings.
In other words, it's much more effective if I can say, look, you know, your child should take an asthma inhaler now, because in the next half an hour, you're going to have a severe impact in these areas.
Koh is also interested in technology that will tell us which trees are close to power lines or at risk of being struck by lightning. That could help us prevent some wildfires in the first place. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
Last summer, Congress and President Biden made some moves to promote electric vehicle use and production here in the U.S. They did that through a system of subsidies and incentives, so consumers and businesses could actually get several thousand dollars knocked off the price of an electric car if it was assembled in North America. Now, several U.S. allies got caught up in this, and they were furious. The U.S. had to make some adjustments. And that has led to some unexpected consequences, according to Chad Bown, a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He joins us. Good morning, Chad.
Hi, Sabri.
So the U.S. and the Inflation Reduction Act basically says we are going to give all these tax breaks to electric vehicles if they are assembled in North America and if they do not contain critical minerals sourced from China. What is the U.S. trying to achieve here? What are the goals?
One is obviously to help the climate problem, to try to shift American consumers away from internal combustion engine vehicles and toward electric vehicles. But second, the Biden administration and Congress were really trying to incentivize automakers to create these electric vehicles and their supply chains in North America and to have the supply chains for the key critical minerals and the battery components being outside of China. And China dominates the supply chain currently. We're worried about that for geostrategic reasons and all kinds of bigger concerns. So there were all these incentives to try to achieve those objectives.
Now, the European Union, South Korea, other allies, they get pretty mad about this. They say, you know, we are your allies. We are also concerned about China. Why are you doing this to us? So what does the U.S. do in response to that?
What ended up happening is the Treasury Department, they released kind of a rule that said there's a separate track for these tax credits in the Inflation Reduction Act. So basically, you can lease an electric vehicle from Europe, from South Korea, get access to the tax credit, and that made trading partners much happier.
So what has been the consequence of these changes on the ground?
Leasing rates just bottomed out. Once Treasury made this announcement, suddenly those numbers started to pick up. And now the latest numbers are something like 35, 40% of electric vehicles that are coming into the market in the United States are now being leased. And this is up from 7, 8, 9% at the end of last year.
If we go back to the original goals behind this whole system of, you know, promoting assembly in North America, reducing dependence on China, are we still meeting those goals?
Well, no, not really. Now you can actually source all of the critical minerals from China, provided the vehicle is leased. So this is definitely a trade-off. We're likely to see a lot more electric vehicles come into the market. This is good for climate. It's also helping to smooth over concerns with some of our really key allies, but it is undermining one of the other key objectives as well.
Chad Bown is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you so much, Chad.
Thanks, Sabri.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.